Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, JB and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jimmy Jordan. Tommy is sitting over there, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored. What is on the show this week, sir?
We got Xbox console news, which I'm excited about. We've also got the Uncharted fan film to talk about, which is fantastic.
It's legit.
You'll hear lots about that. It's great. And then we got just bunch of random game stuff, lots of announcements and trailers and that kind of thing. And so, it should be a good show.
And
how you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm excited because we got a segment also. We're on a roll with the segments.
We are. Let me mention, we are not on a roll with the weekly thing. We're on the roll of the almost weekly thing in that it's been 9 days since the last show.
Right.
Which still, I'm counting as a win. We're doing good. And so I'm still proud of us. But yes, we know we're a little behind. We should be settling into more of a routine soon, hopefully. But dang it, we're here and we're still doing it. And so I'm calling it good. I'm saying we're still on track.
We are still on track. We have officially done more shows at this point than we did for the last 6 months. I'm all good with that. And I will mention, okay, we tell you guys to give us money on a fairly regular basis. I will say this. We have another reason for you to give us money because time was so tight this week. We were trying to find some time, and I was like, it would totally be awesome if I could take off work and we could just spend a day doing show stuff. And so there's another reason we can use your money on this show.
Absolutely.
Because I got to tell you, you'll love this. Like, I've been out of town. I went last Thursday through Sunday to San Antonio. I've been to San Antonio before, but I don't think it was quite so hot last time. And got back on Sunday and have spent the week catching up. We were trying to get a time together to do the show. And I walk into work on yesterday and my desk is gone. And the entire store is reorganized. And they're like, "Hey, dude, we put you over here," and my desk is up against the wall where nobody can see me. Okay, where the reason this is funny is because I'm supposed to be a greeter. That's my entire job. So, after I saw that, I sat in my little corner all day and didn't actually do anything because I couldn't greet people. So I say again, it would have been really beneficial for me to take yesterday off and we could have done show stuff, because I walked in and I was like, well, If this is what we're doing, screw it. So, if you want more Gaming Uncensored, folks, that's how you do it. Set us up with a little cash, and we will take a day, and we will get you more content, because, let's face it, life is crazy, but I need this show more and more every week.
Yep. If you want to do that, go to GamingUncensored.com and click on that Patreon link right there.
Or the PayPal.
Right hand side of the page. Or the PayPal. PayPal works too. So, yeah, we'll take your money however you want to give us your money. We'll definitely take it. While we're on that topic, maybe record for the earliest we've ever got this in a show. Big thanks to the Patreon supporters, Cabbage Jose, Narc Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, and Zeke. You guys rock, and we would love to see that list grow a little longer.
Yes.
So if you're interested in supporting us, GamingUncensored.com, and then click over there on the Patreon link, because that'd be awesome. And we would definitely take your money.
Yes, and we would use it for great things, including making time to do this show.
Yes.
Because I make considerably less money than you do, and therefore I can afford to take a day off, and the show can pay me, and it would not break the show to take a day off. So, and let's face it, you have a kid, and if you could take a little time off and do a little more on the show, that'd be good for both of us. Plus, the kid needs a college fund.
Absolutely.
So there's that.
That's the truth.
Which, by the way, I have to ask before we get to the segment. I talked about it last time we did a show. But the longer that I'm away from her, it's starting to physically hurt. Like,
I believe it.
Like, I'm not really liking this. Like, I'm looking at the calendar going, okay, how long do we have before I get to go back? Because I'm having a little issue here.
Yeah. She's awesome. She's growing ridiculously fast. And, yeah. She's to the point where she says, dad, 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 dad.
What?
I'm calling that a win.
What?
She's not actually saying anything about me yet, but it's close enough that I'm claiming it, and so
dude,
I'm pretty pumped about
do
that.
Do you have any idea if we can get her to say dad, and if we can get her to say Jay, do you have any idea how pumped off I'm going to be? Like, like, forget it. Like, I could probably get up out of the chair and walk at that point. Like,
absolutely.
That would be, like, the coolest thing ever.
We got to get to Mama before she gets there, though.
Yeah.
Or else the sexy sidekick will come after
you. Yeah, like, I don't want to die. I really don't want to die. But I would. I would love that. That would totally make my year.
Yes.
If that happened.
It's pretty fantastic. So, yeah. She's great. She's phenomenal. Just the best thing ever.
Yes.
So, that being said, you alluded to it. We have a segment. Should we get to the segment?
Let's
get to the segment. We'll talk about some stuff we've been playing, and we'll talk about news. So we got a plan. So segment this week comes to us from our boy Ty, who is driving a lot in between Wyoming and Oregon. And God bless you, man. But he's got some thoughts about the gaming addiction conversation we had a couple weeks back, which I think is really interesting. And so we're gonna do that. We'll discuss. We'll talk about stuff we've been playing and get to the news. So without further ado, here is Ty.
Hey, Jamie and Tommy, this is Ty. I'm driving back to Wyoming from Oregon to visit with my family. We just had an offer tipping on a house out in Oregon, so hopefully I'll be able to move my family out there whenever it closes here at home, so I don't have to make this 9-hour drive every 2 to 3 weeks. At any rate, I'm catching up on your podcast on this drive, and you guys just weighed in on the gaming addiction being claimed or whatever as a new type of disorder. I wanted to weigh in on that a little bit because my mother, being old school, the second she saw that on Facebook floating around, she tagged me on it, posted it to my page because apparently I have a gaming addiction. So I decided to dive into it. Even the people that claimed that it was an addiction, said that only 1, maybe 2% of people that play games suffer from it, and other specialists went as far as to say it's not actually a thing. The majority of people who were studied that were diagnosed with gaming addiction, as it turns out, ended up that they just had some form of depression or bipolar disorder. So, yeah, I had to weigh in on that. Sure, I think people can be addicted to gaming. I don't think that it... I think claiming it a disorder is a dangerous thing and will give parents in the future, like my mother, who don't like gaming, an excuse to medicate their kids for something that they shouldn't get medication for. That's my worry about it, but you guys are doing great. Love your new format on the show. Keep it up, and we'll catch you another time. Bye.
Okay, so I totally forgot we weren't going to run production there. still new, thank you very much. I love that segment because it's something that, I don't know about you, but since we talked about that, I've been thinking about it quite a bit. Just different people that I know and trying to figure out if that's really a thing, and I don't know what the answer is. It seems like every week there's some new condition out there that is being invented for some way that somebody acts that somebody else doesn't like. So as we talked about on the show, I think that gaming addiction is actually normally, I think it's fairly rare, but we all know it does happen. So I'm with Ty on that. That's a real good segment. I dig that. And I'm wondering what you think as far as what he said.
Yeah, I generally agree. I think it's a thing. I think it's a rare thing. I don't think Ty has it, and it is fodder for Ty's mom and other people like that to say, "Oh, here's your problem," when it's not, you know, and that seems ridiculous, and also something that seems easy to either misdiagnose or to be, like he was saying, like people have depression or bipolar disorder or something that may manifest in this way, but the underlying root cause of it is actually something bigger. And that's something that I've kind of been toying in my head about, is like, okay, like I do think that there are people who legitimately struggle with a gaming addiction that have this problem that leads to problems in their life or whatever, but is that, like, should it be called video game addiction, or is it the manifestation of some other underlying disorder or condition? And I don't know.
Like, well,
that's
look,
a hard question to answer.
Here's the thing. We talk about it a lot, and this is not just video games. Other things do this as well. Music is something that I talk about on my blog that is a mood elevator for people. And I think there's a lot of people, including myself and yourself, that play games as a way to, like, get away from the stresses of life. And trust me, you and I and everybody else out there has major stress in life at this point in our lives. And so if you boot up a game to get away from stress, and that's your outlet, I guess I could see how it could be a gaming, how it could be conceived as an addiction when it's really not. It's just your yeah. outlet, your way of coping. And on a weekly basis, we all got stuff to cope about. So,
yeah, absolutely. And trying to diagnose anybody as not being a clinician is dumb, and don't
right.
do it. You know, like, if you're worried about somebody that has addiction or addictive like symptoms or whatever, like, get them to help. Don't try to diagnose them on your own. And it's ridiculous to say, oh, yeah, my buddy has that, when you hear a name and don't know any of the context or whatever. So, also, the idea he brought up right there at the end about another reason to medicate kids. Oh, goodness.
Yeah. Like,
no, not, don't do that for gaming addiction. Don't. There's a lot of reasons, a lot of things that kids shouldn't be medicated for that they are. This, yeah, please, please, please don't give another reason to be medicating people for things that probably don't need medication.
I spend a lot of time with an older gentleman that has a PhD in psychology and taught for a lot of years, and he's currently 86, and he's a lot of fun to spend time with, and I'm lucky to occasionally get to work with him, and he's one of the few people that I've ever met that considers ADD or ADHD as a gift. Like, he walks around telling people, like, I don't know why you would medicate for that, because those people are the ones that get stuff done. And I know there are a lot of people that, well, not, maybe not a lot of, I know there are some people that may need medication for that to actually function, but I think a lot of people that have it are over-medicated because they have a gift, like the boss says. And
I've never been diagnosed ADD or ADHD, and so I don't know whether or not I have it, but I have a lot of these things.
I've been with you for 13 years. I'm pretty sure you got it. But
both of my younger brothers have been diagnosed, right. And so it is a genetic thing, at least in part, and so there's that stuff there. But I completely agree with the idea that it can be a useful thing, because I pride myself on my ability to multitask, as we've talked about a lot on this show, and it's because my mind races, you know, and like it can do that from time to time, and sometimes it's terrible and I can't focus or whatever. But it is can be a helpful thing. And so, yeah, we have a habit, I think, as a society, to look at things that are non-conforming as bad when they shouldn't be. That's a long ways away from where we started this conversation.
But I dig it.
But, I think you're absolutely right. I think for kids especially who have attention disorders, that it should be like, let's figure out how you can harness this and use it to your advantage as opposed to medicating. Both of my brothers were medicated and it did terrible things for them. And, you know, like it wasn't good. And so, it's something that instead of medicating, let's figure out how to be healthy in whatever we are and what we have. And it's, yeah, whatever. That's, again, a long ways from where we started, but a good conversation.
Yeah.
All that said, quickly, before we get into the news, I don't know if you've been playing anything. I know you've been traveling mostly. So have you had any time to play some games since last we talked?
I have not actually played a game. However, I was so happy to boot up the YouTube this morning and to see that there was God of War on my YouTube.
Yes.
Because you've been doing that. So while I was in the standing frame this morning, killing myself, I watched the Uncharted fan film, which we'll talk about in a minute, and I watched some God of War, and man, that's a great way to spend an hour and a half.
Yeah, if you've got to spend an hour and a half in a torture device, that seems like a good way to do it. So
yes.
I'm glad. It's still great. We're so slow getting through games, and so yes, still working on God of War. About halfway through is what I've figured by looking at a guide, just to see, because I was curious to, like, how close am I to the end of this thing? And so halfway feels about right of what I've put into the game so far, and it's just great. Did you see the fight with the big dragon?
What, I don't know if it was a dragon or just a funky looking dude with a spear that looked like a dragon. That when you killed him, he said you made a mistake.
Oh, yeah. No, not that one.
Okay, I haven't gotten there yet.
The dragon's huge. you'll know right, him when right. you see him.
I haven't gotten there yet, but I'm now that you've said that, I'll get there by the end of the day.
Yeah, it's freaking, it's the best boss fight I can remember in a long time. It is so much fun. Just a blast. And unbeknownst to me, our buddy Cabbage was actually watching me in real time while I was doing that, because the broadcast is like public, you know, like whatever. If you have our YouTube channel, you can find it. So Cabbage was watching me during this boss fight, and just at the end of it, posted like effing awesome or something like that. It is fantastic. It's everything God of War was in the past plus a million. It's just so good. So yeah,
well,
big props to that.
And you know what I'm excited about, because I heard something yesterday that blew my mind. You know, I work with three young millennial type guys, and the newest one that just got started, his name is Gio. What's up, man? His actual name is Jeffrey, but we call him Gio because he has the English spelling, so it's a different nice way to look at it. Anyway, so we're talking about games yesterday while I was sitting staring at my wall because I couldn't do anything else. And he was talking about The Last of Us, and he's really excited about The Last of Us 2. And then he said a game that really surprised him was Horizon Zero Dawn, in that it was the first story in a long time that really grabbed him and got him emotionally invested. So here we are, halfway through God of War, which I'm excited about, you're excited about, and we still have most of Horizon to play. And I cannot be more excited after hearing that. I love where we are right now.
Yeah, me too. It's fantastic. Let me mention one other game too, really quick. I've played a little bit of Octopath Traveler. I'm like 2-something hours in, so I'm still playing on the demo that I haven't had to pay for it yet, which is great. I love that.
Did you put any of that up? Because I would love to see that.
I know, and I will at some point. But the how I play it, I have yet to play it in docked mode. I haven't seen the thing on a TV screen yet. It's completely been in handheld mode. Because when I play it is when little girl goes down for a nap and I'm holding her.
Right.
And so, especially in the evenings, I'm usually the responsible party to get her to sleep. And it takes a little bit to get her to sleep. It's a little work. And so we have this nice cushy chair in our front room that you saw.
Yes.
And so my nighttime routine is rocking her to sleep. And then once she's kind of off, I can play, you know, half an hour or so of Octopath. And so I've done some of that, which has been great. It's very cool.
Can I be totally honest and say that I for the better part of a week, I got to experience that bedtime thing. And like that, I don't know why, but that bedtime time period is like the coolest time period, because it you and me and her for like a week, and it's a dark room and she's just chilling. And and like we're having a semi-quiet conversation, and it's just a really chill place to be. And like that is awesome. So the fact that you can get some gaming in there, that's really cool.
And the Switch is amazing because I can do that. Even like what's brilliant about it, this is a little off, but it's fascinating to me. I love it. The fact that the controllers are detachable has come in really handy, because sometimes I'll play it, you know, in just kind of the full single unit thing. But the fact that I could pop off the Joy-Cons means that like if she's like laying on me awkwardly where I can't like hold the control or the console in front of my face well, like I could pop off the controllers and then like do the kickstand thing and just prop it up on the arm of the chair, and I can still play with like my arm completely pinned down by the little girl, and it's just great. Like it just works so well for that moment of my life. And so
we have to say that again, Nintendo has done it. They have built a console that is unlike anything else out there that we didn't know how good it was going to be. I am starting to believe that for bang for your buck and for the amount of software that they have, and for the different things that are available, it may be creeping up on the best console out there. Saying yeah. that, I mean, obviously, PlayStation is the best console out there, but it's not nearly as flexible as the Switch.
Yeah, the thing's great. It's brilliant. And you're dead right. Nintendo just did a fantastic job with the thing. So kudos to them for that. On Octopath, I'll just mention really quickly, it's awesome because I grew up playing Nintendo and Super Nintendo RPGs. It feels so much like an old Final Fantasy game. The combat system, like, it's random encounters, it's turn-based combat. It's just like my favorite game of all time is Final Fantasy VI, and it feels so much like a game in that same vein. You know, equipment and spells, and I've done very little in the grand scheme. It's a big game, you know, like it's a full-on RPG. I started with the thief character because I always, that's my favorite kind of
backstab, baby. Characters.
Yes. Playing through his beginning kind of story stuff is super fun. And now I'm out into the world and just kind of like right now, I'm just wandering. I don't know where to go. I'm just wandering around and like leveling up. And it's kind of the RPG grind thing, finding chests out in the world and all that stuff. It's just, it's so nostalgic. I don't know. I'd be interested to see if like younger gamers get it or are into it. I don't know that they would be. I think it would be kind of boring or feel like it trudges along. But for me, I love it. One thing I'll mention, you'll appreciate this a ton, is it's not all voiced, but it's a lot voiced. And so it's still the like text on screen thing and the sprite base and everything like a Final Fantasy game, except for a lot of it has voice acting to it. It's not the best voice acting of all time. It's Square Enix, and so it's not an indie game, but it's not the super high-budget game. But the voice acting's fine, you know, and it like it's really nice to have that to these characters as opposed to just reading text upon text upon text like a classic RPG. So that's cool. The graphics are cool. The gameplay's fun. Like, it's just a fun game. It's cool.
Now hearing you say that, I'm really hoping that when the accessibility controller comes out on in September, I'm going to have a reason to buy a Switch, because out of every Switch game available, that is now the one I want to play, because I want that old school RPG.
Yeah.
I want that turn-based, random, not too twitchy kind of thing. I want that so bad.
Yep.
And
it's that for sure.
That will be the game that I play if that accessibility controller is made available for the Switch. Please, yep. please make that happen.
Yes. And it is Square Enix, so there's a chance that it comes out on other platforms. So we could see this land on PC, which would be fantastic.
That would be awesome. I would dig that.
Yeah. I would too. But for now, it's on Switch. And if you have a Switch and you grew up playing RPGs like we did, you should check it out. So all that said, we should get to news, because we're already halfway through the show and we haven't even touched news yet. So sticking on the Microsoft theme, we've got some rumors about the upcoming Microsoft console. So at E3, the rumor mill started about the Microsoft 2020 console. That's when we anticipate it coming. It's going by the code name Scarlet at this point. We'll see what the actual name ends up being of this thing. But apparently this thing is actually two things. And this is the kind of juicy bit of the rumor mill that's happening. Is apparently, at least this is what's being said, is that Microsoft is working on two different consoles that will be parallel to each other, will play the same games, but will play them in fundamentally different ways. And so the first console is a traditional console, like you would think the next Microsoft console would be. And so it'll have, you know, souped up graphics card and processor and all that stuff, and it'll be the next level of everything, hard drive, blah, 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 all that good stuff. But the second version is the one that's interesting, and this is where we'll have the discussion around. The second one appears to be kind of a hybrid cloud-based box. And so the idea is that you have this console that's not going to be nearly as powerful, that's going to have a much less souped-up graphics card, much less souped-up processor, but still those things. And then it's going to pull a lot of the game information from the cloud as well. And so instead of what we've seen mostly so far in the cloud gaming world, instead of relying on almost all of the content coming from the cloud, this new Microsoft console will do some of the processing locally on board the console. And so some things that they mention in this article are like controller input to really try to reduce the amount of lag, some of the image processing, collision detection, stuff like that that makes it feel a little bit more live than maybe a cloud game feels like. The latency issue with cloud gaming is real, and so it's trying to figure out how to deal with that. So ultimately what this would probably look like is that you get the choice of either the standalone all local box that, let's say, launches at $400. That seems like a good console launch price. Or you get the cloud box that launches at 200, 150, something like that.
I was actually thinking about 200, and the key to this whole deal is the price point.
Yeah.
We talk about bandwidth all the time, so I'm not going to rail on bandwidth, but
yep.
if I only pay 150 for this, and it works most of the time, I'm going to smile and feel like I stole something.
Right.
because I and Microsoft is gonna hate what I'm about to say. It would make me laugh if they're actually listening to this show. But I think that this would be the ultimate test for Amazon Web Services. And before everybody laughs, keep in mind that like 80% of the web, including Netflix and other things, uses Amazon Web Services, which I think is hilarious because Netflix is a direct competitor to Amazon Video, but they use Amazon Web Services because AWS is the best out there. So if you put it on something like Amazon Web Services, and you have, and the reason I brought up Netflix is Netflix works really well even on my crappy bandwidth. Like, my Netflix looks good because of the way they have their buffering set up and all of that. And I think a lot of that has to do with AWS. So I say again, Microsoft, if you set this up correctly, I'm into this.
Yeah, I agree. I'm really intrigued by this idea, and I think this is the most logical way to transition into this world, to pull this off, of having this kind of hybrid approach to it. And so this box is going to have some local storage. You would imagine that some of the games, some assets get installed locally, but it's a much smaller thing. And of course, they're going to build this off of some kind of subscription service, a game as a service as opposed to a game as commodity kind of thing. And so obviously, that's going to be a whole nother aspect of this that we have to talk about as
so,
blah, blah, blah.
So let's speculate on hardware for a second, because
yep.
Obviously, you got it for a setup like this. You have to have a solid-state drive.
I would imagine, yeah. And I would guess that we're going to have solid-state drives in all the next-gen stuff, right?
Right.
Surely.
Because you and I both have at least two computers apiece, and they both have solid-state drives as the main drives. You just have to have one at this point. That's the way it is.
And they're getting pretty cheap. Like, the prices of solid-state drives today are significantly less, exponentially less than they were even just a couple of years ago. And so that makes it a little bit more practical for a mass production thing like a game console. So, yeah, I agree. I think solid-state drive for sure.
You got a solid-state drive, say something to the equivalent of a 1080, and the reason I bring up a 1080 is because by the time this thing comes out, we're going to have the 11 or 12 series available. Yeah. But you throw something that is the equivalent of a 1080 into the streaming box. Yeah, you put in, say, 16 or 32 gigs of RAM, and you got yourself a pretty decent cloud streaming box right there. Like, I would not feel bad about taking a risk on that at $150 or $200.
Yeah, I think you're overstating the rest of the specs. I don't think it'll have anything equivalent to a 1080 for the streaming box.
Well, we're talking about, the reason I bring that up is because, let's say this is 6 months, a year down the line, whatever that is. The 1080 that I have now is going to be significantly older, and we're going to have much more powerful graphics cards out there. That's the reason I bring this up, because a card like that is not going to be that expensive to put in at that point.
Sure, but I don't think it'll be needed still. I don't think that it's going to put that much local processing on. Maybe something close, but I still think that's probably a little bit higher than what this box will need. Because ultimately, they're going to try to keep the price to manufacture this box, I would guess, as low as possible. Because this is the other thing. Whatever their games as service thing is, what their thing they have now, I can't ever remember, Xbox Play or whatever the name of their current service is, Game Pass. They're going to have something like that, that they're also going to say, this works on your Windows PC and on your Windows tablet and so on and so forth. Like, they're going to try to sell this to other devices as well, that you can stream your games anywhere. There's just this console that's kind of, souped up to make it work a little bit better. Or you can still do it traditionally if you want to go out and spend $400 on the big rig that has all the processing power built in. But they're going to, the cloud streaming box is going to be that in-between place, that kind of sweet spot between trying to play it straight streaming on your PC or playing it completely locally from your souped up, full console thing. They can't make it too expensive still. It's got to have some, but it can't have everything in it.
I can't believe that I'm about to say this, especially you and I being the cheapest people that we are, but if Microsoft does this, I can honestly say, if Microsoft does this, we will probably have both setups, because we will want the full-on rig, whatever that costs, and then the other one, especially for your house and your fiber internet,
right,
we have to buy one just to see how it works. And so theoretically, they're going to get cheap tightwad people like us who love games twice just because we're so curious.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll definitely want to play the thing. And that's going to be a trick. Because, going to a Microsoft store or whatever, I'm always going to be skeptical of, okay, exactly how are you running this? What's your internet connection that you have in the store? So on and so forth. And so, yeah, on my fiber internet, I'm pretty pumped about the idea of getting this thing in my house and trying it out. And honestly, if it works and I can get, the same or very, very, very close to the same experience with paying half as much for the console and get to play all the same games. And that's what's really critical here. This is according to this rumor, is that the game availability will be identical on the two devices, that there's not going to be games that only run on the standalone version, that every game will be compatible with both versions. And you would guess with that transferable that you could go back and forth between playing the cloud version and playing just a local only version with cloud saves and all that kind of stuff. So much stuff happens in the cloud already. Why not just start pushing some of the game content from the cloud as well? And that's what this is doing.
The reason I'd say that we're going to end up having both, and that would have never happened even a year ago, is because, A, we have Patreon. Thank you, Patreon people.
Yes.
We will spend $600 of Patreon money for content for this show, and B, like, this to me, I don't know why, I feel like we need to roll back on some shows and refresh on stuff that I've said, because I'm probably going to stick my foot in my mouth. This to me has me extremely curious, and I don't think I've ever said that before.
Yeah, we've been pretty bearish on any kind of streaming stuff, any kind of cloud service, and yeah, I agree with you. We're both kind of on this bandwagon now. I think it's a really intriguing idea.
Yeah.
If they could pull it off and make it work, I'm all in with it. So, moving on to the Uncharted fan film now, because we got to make sure we get this in, because it's just fantastic. So, first of all, go by the show notes, gamingcensored.com, or go to YouTube and search Uncharted fan film to see this if you haven't already seen this. So, this is a fan film that was made, like, high quality fan film that was made by, and I'm trying to find,
like, seriously, don't watch it on your computer or your smartphone. Go watch it on the biggest screen you can find.
Absolutely. It's 100% worth it, because it's fantastic. And so it's this fan film of Uncharted, but starring Nathan Fillion, who's a big-time movie star, right? A big-time TV star. I'll say that, somewhat big-time movie star. But big-time TV star with Castle Forever, did Firefly, and is at least well-known, semi-well-known. He plays Nathan Drake in this 15-minute long fan film and kills it.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. Go watch it, and then please, somebody make this into a feature film, because it's awesome.
And think about this. I hadn't thought about this, but they cast everybody else perfectly as well. I cannot remember the blonde's name, but she is nearly a dead ringer for the lady in the game. And then I got to thinking, because Claudia Black is the voice of Chloe, she's also a dead ringer for Chloe. And so we have people, like, seriously, this is probably the closest live action that we will ever get to people in the game, because all the people that work on the game, the characters are actually modeled after their bodies now. Claudia Black, like I said, will look exactly like Chloe, because Chloe's her, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that potential.
Yes, I am too. By the way, it's Elena is the female character.
Right.
She's played by Marcia Monroe in the fan film. The director's name is Alan Ungar, and so big props to Alan Ungar, who put this together and now has 3.5 million views on YouTube for this fan film. But you're spot on. Like, it feels like Uncharted. The guy that plays Sully was the one I thought was farthest off, but I kind of liked him. Like, I don't know why it didn't quite. Like, there's something about him that just felt off slightly to me. But by the end of it, I was like, I don't care. Like, this feels like Sully. It's close enough.
He's less grumpy for being Sully.
Yes.
That's the thing.
And that the cigar thing in his mouth the whole time. It doesn't work on the video.
I'm going to make an 80s reference. It's going to make you laugh. Because I saw that and I was like, dude, did Hannibal show up? I mean, look, is Mr. T going to pop in with, like, Murdoch and everybody else? Because he looked just like Hannibal. And if he had actually said the phrase, I love it when a plan comes together, I would have fallen out of my chair.
That would have been great.
Because seriously, for a second there, I thought it was Hannibal from the A-Team.
Yes. That's fair. That's completely fair. So go by, check that out. Also, we'll mention, we were discussing this before we started the show. There is an Uncharted movie in the works. That's a young Nathan Drake Uncharted movie that's starring Tom Holland of, recent Spider-Man fame, which also could be very cool. Like, we can have both of these things exist. But now I really want the Nathan Fillion Uncharted, much more so than I want the Tom Holland Uncharted. I love Tom Holland. I imagine it'll be a fun movie. But this was just so good. Just really well done. Nathan Fillion's just the best Nathan Drake. Like, it just was perfect.
And my only complaint, I can't believe that I got stuck on this, was that his hair wasn't quite right. They get the hair right. We're all good. I loved the joke about the henchman with the early 90s hairstyle that made me laugh. Yes. And then he actually rips the ponytail off the guy's head and throws it at another guy.
That's amazing.
It made me laugh.
Yeah, it's super corny. It's cheesy because it's Uncharted, and that's what Uncharted is. It's kind of over-the-top ridiculous, and they pull off the over-the-top ridiculous well. The one-liners, the ridiculousness, it's just fun. So, yeah, go check it out. A couple of other things before we wrap up for the week. Epic Games is now worth $8 billion because of Fortnite.
Wow.
What in the world happened there? By the way, CEO of Epic, Tim Sweeney, is now a billionaire because of freaking Fortnite.
Wait, how is he a billionaire?
Because they've made a lot of money off of Fortnite, and so his net worth is now above $1 billion.
I'm going to say it again. I've said it every show for 3 weeks, but look, if this can happen, we need more freaking money. Like seriously, if there's people making money like that, somebody break off like $3 million for us. Let us build a studio. This is ridiculous. Yeah. $1 billion for Fortnite. And before any of you guys flame me, yes, I know Fortnite is great. Yes, I know there's a zillion people playing it, but that's ridiculous.
Yeah. From the people that, I mean, we grew up with Epic. We thought Epic was awesome when we were young with Unreal. I've talked about my love for Unreal Tournament several times on this, and then a later generation with Gears of War. And it's freaking Fortnite is the thing that, like, blows up, you know? Like, it's the thing that makes them billions of dollars is Fortnite of all things. So
I mean,
God bless them. Good for them.
I mean, for crying,
just blows my mind.
We gotta get some of that money. Somebody, somewhere. Like, I may be slightly grumpy because one guy won the Bank of Millions pot in the lottery, which I've been playing for like 2 weeks and thought I was gonna make $308 million this morning.
Us too.
Did I? Nope. I'm a little faulty. Thank you very much.
We had a house picked out already.
Yeah, I
found where we were going.
I was picking out some freaking studio space because, like, let me tell you something. If that ever happens, whatever it is, whether it's stocks or winning the lottery or whatever it is, the second that I have the ability to do so, the first stop I'm making is your place to be like, okay, dude, what are we doing?
Yep.
Because whatever we're doing is going to set the tone for everything else.
Yep.
So, like, I'm with you guys. I was picking out studio space in Dallas, trying to figure out how big we could build because, you know, we hadn't really talked about it, but I'm getting to the point that I kind of want a complex. Like, yes. I want a gaming uncensored complex with, like, a huge gaming space for community events and, like all kinds of cool stuff. And we can have kids from, like, hospitals come in and play games and, like, new technology and all. I had this vision in my head, so it's gotta happen.
Yep, I agree. be fantastic. So, with all that money, you could watch this transition. Pick up the Resident Evil 2 Collector's Edition, which sounds cool, and will set you back $200.
What? Yeah. I'm not paying
$200 bucks for the Collector's Edition of it. And like Resident Evil 2 is great, but. Man, $200. So here's what you get if you decide to lay down $200 on Resident Evil 2. You get the game. Good. We would hope. You get, quote, special deluxe packaging. Cool. You get an extra downloadable content pack card that's going to give Leon and Claire new looks or blasts from the past with a set of different costumes. Cool. You get a samurai sword as a weapon. Okay, that's cool. Like, I'm kind of into that one. You also get a Leon figurine. You get an art book. You get a digital soundtrack. And you get a Raccoon Police Department renovation design poster.
Let me
for $200.
Let me just say, I didn't comment during that rundown because... For the first time in the history of this show, since you guys started sending us money, we will not be spending show money on that piece of crap.
Yeah,
and
agreed.
If you do, you are stupid.
I can't imagine how many pre-orders they already have. I'm sure it's a ton.
Somebody else is probably going to make $1 billion on that, and I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah. It's nuts. Just the craziest thing. So, whatever. A couple of final things as we're wrapping up. Release date stuff. Stardew Valley. I'm going to start here. Stardew Valley is getting the multiplayer update officially on August 1st, which I'm really intrigued by because Stardew Valley is so much fun. And then the idea that you can get your friends to do all the like random farm work for you sounds even better.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm still salty about Resident Evil for $200. Like, that sounds really cool, but I'm going to be pissed about the other thing for a while.
That's fair. I'll let you have that. Yeah. Go by the show notes for a new Spider-Man trailer, which is fantastic. Another release coming this week, into this week. I guess freaking August is into this week, isn't it? So Stardew Valley is coming this week too. Where does the time freaking go? 1979.
It goes to your kid. That's where it goes.
That's the truth. She's just the time eater is the craziest thing. 1979 Revolution Black Friday, which is the name of a game, is coming to PlayStation 4 on July 31st. This is the Iranian Revolution game that kind of plays like a Telltale game. I've played this on Steam, and it's really, really cool. It takes place in 1979, the late 70s, as you would guess, around the
year of my birth.
Yeah, man, you are old.
Yes.
Sorry. it's fantastic. I highly recommend it. A cool kind of historically based fiction game that gives you some insight of the world at a time. The Fallout 76 beta is officially coming in October. Not sure when in October, but sometime in October. So if you pre-ordered a game, you can get the beta, which is the requirement of being in the beta, which seems a little silly to me, but whatever. Grand Theft Auto Online, which is still a big deal, just released a big content thing. I don't even know what you call it at this point. DLC something that's called After Hours. That's apparently around the nightlife of Grand Theft Auto world, including bringing back a character from a previous Grand Theft Auto game, Tony Prince, or also known as Gay Tony. So now a figure in Grand Theft Auto Online again,
dude,
which is a huge thing.
Dude, we gotta play that. And
we do, and I have it. I have it on the PlayStation 4 because I have Grand Theft Auto 5, and so I just gotta do it. Just gotta play this thing because I'm fascinated by the fact that it's such a big deal still. That is so huge, and apparently there's tons and tons of content.
Okay, so we don't have time. We're out of time, but I have to tell you this one thing.
Yep.
I was hanging out with somebody last night, and we were talking about kind of what we do. We're kind of getting to know each other a little bit. And I told her I did a gaming podcast, and she said, cool, what kind of games do you play? And I just named off a couple, thinking that, she probably doesn't play anything. And she's like, yeah, that's cool. I'm really into Guild Wars. and I'm like, really? And I asked her why, and she said, you know, I played World of Warcraft for a while, but the Guild Wars community is so different. It's like when I played World of Warcraft and I told people I was a girl, they'd be like, prove it to me. And in Guild Wars, there's none of that. And so here we are 15 years later, and I really feel like you and I need to try Guild Wars.
Yeah. Like, it's apparently really good.
Like, it is apparently really good.
And it's still a thing. Like, I saw, not anybody I know, but just on the subreddit that recommends games, that it popped up a couple of times that, like, apparently is good. So,
yeah.
I don't have time for it.
No.
MMOs are tough, man. I miss World of Warcraft. I love that game.
Yeah, World of Warcraft's great. Can we get vanilla World of Warcraft, please?
Yes.
Fantastic. Gotta have that.
Yep. Quickly, a couple other releases. You can go by show notes, see more if you're interested. Not tons of big stuff. It's the middle of the summer, so it is what it is. Mother Gunship, which I'd never heard of before, but is a bullet hell game, which is just a great name for a genre, bullet hell, a 3D bullet hell game. That's just crazy, like getting shot at constantly, first-person shooter. Decent reviews on Metacritic on PS4, or Xbox, PC. New Mega Man X Legacy Collection 1 and 2 that you can get on multiple consoles as well. And then this one bummed me out. Far Cry 5 Lost on Mars, one of the kind of expansion things for Far Cry 5, is out and currently has a 58 score on Metacritic, which is pretty brutal. Because the critic scores on Metacritic are generally, like, if you're anything below a 75, you're a pretty bad game. And so 58 is pretty brutal.
Yeah, that's not good at all.
Let me open it up and see what terrible things people said about it. Because that's always fun to do. Just doesn't pay off. The risky change of scenery, just not good. Overall, doesn't have several moments of amusement. Which you kind of want in a game, I suppose. Fans of the original will get their kicks while turning some aliens into exploding cows. I feel like that justifies a little more than a 58. Aliens into exploding cows.
Yeah, I mean like think of the possibilities here. I'm just thinking of possibilities as you talk. Can you imagine dude from Far Cry 5 running into the Doom Marine or Toe Jam and Earl on Mars? Because that could possibly happen. And if you have exploding cows, you know, I'd pay for that.
Yeah, no, all those things sound really amazing and should get a better than 58 if that were true. So I love the idea because I love Far Cry, and we've talked about that a ton. I love the idea of Far Cry on Mars. I kind of figured they would screw it up. There's a couple more of these expansions coming that I don't have a lot of hope for either. They did the Far Cry Primal in between Far Cry 4 and Far Cry 5, which apparently wasn't great. And just it feels like they've taken on a kind of
Assassin's Creed
approach to Far Cry, and just trying to overly monetize it. Even Far Cry 5 hasn't gotten great reviews, but it's not a 58. So yeah, kind of is what it is. Bummed that it's not better than it is, but wasn't expecting.
I'm sad that Far Cry 5 is not that good, but I'm also happy that it's not on a list of games that I absolutely have to play. It's not on that thing of like, crap, when am I going to get around to this?
Yep. I'll be watching for it on a Steam sale. I'll play it eventually, but I'm not in a hurry.
Yeah. That.
So, go by the show notes, gaminguncensored.com. We did miss a few things, so check those out.
I'm still not used to this hour thing. I'm like, wait, we're done? Really? But you guys know how to find us on the social medias, on the Facebook and the Twitter. And where else are we? Facebook and Twitter and
email, gaminginsensitive@gmail.com, voicemail line 509-GAME-210, which is, again, how Ty got that segment to us today. And we still love having segments, so 509-GAME-210 for the voicemail
more
line.
More segments, please.
Yes, or just send them to us, email them to us, do it, put it on SoundCloud, send us a link. Whatever you want to do, we don't really care. Remember, the voicemail will cut you off after 3 minutes. If you want to talk longer, just call it back, and we'll just play your next one right after the first one. And so, yeah, you could do that. But, yeah, get a hold of us because we like hearing from you guys.
Get a hold of us and let us know what you want from us because we're looking for ways to get more content out there.
Absolutely.
I haven't had time to play games. You haven't had a lot of time to play games. So because of that, there's not new Patreon content out there. I'm looking for quick and easy ways to get you guys Patreon content. So if you guys have ideas of stuff that you want to see, because I've heard specifically from Spider that he's not a huge fan of watching me play games. and I can totally understand that because I'm not a huge fan of watching other people play games, except you,
sure.
Because we play games similarly. So I totally get that. So if you want some other type of content from me that you think would be cool, please, please let me know, let us know. So that we can do that, and especially if it's quick and easy and we can do it on a regular basis, that would be totally awesome.
Yes, 100%.
All of that being said, I think we are done. I'm Jamie, that's Tommy. It is yet another weekly episode of almost a weekly episode of Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gaminguncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.